darkness to gray. Its love cannot overtake. There is no stronghold too strong that your love cannot tear down. There is a hopeless alive. You got it. I feel the burning on the inside. There is a blood that's overcome. Oh, King of Kings, let your kingdom come. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. God who restores. With just one world, the world was formed. You are the Spirit whose light is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the keys, and every battle is your victory. Yours is the blood that overcome. O King of Kings, let your kingdom go. Let it come. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. All of the earth, all of stronger than the grave. And your love, your love's overcome the darkness of days. Oh, shout for the victory.
And your love is brighter than the sun, stronger than the grave. And your love, your love's overcome the darkest of days.
Let me hear you, church.
Let every thank you.
Thank you.
I will make to do whatever you want to.
Praise you, Lord. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do you know what that means? It means we must surrender our lives, our whole selves. It's not a Sunday morning event. It's not a Christmas event. It's not an Easter event. It's a whole life event. It's a change from where we were to where He's gonna take us. I'm gonna read a couple of scriptures that just remind us of that. As they were singing, I grabbed my phone because I thought, I need to know the scriptures behind this song. In Romans 12:1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which of worship." If you would direct your heart right and spread your hand to Him, that's what it says in Job. And then it says in Romans, "Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead." Aren't we alive from the dead? "And your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Did you hear that? You're an instrument of righteousness to God when you say, "God, I give you everything. I give you everything. I give you my life. I'm going to serve you no matter what life brings me, no matter what the struggles that come." And guess what? Struggles will come. But we have a Savior who will bring us through those struggles, grow us in the process, and move us forward. So good. So good. Can y'all sing that again? Because I just feel like we need to surrender ourselves today. Make that pledge to God. I don't need you to make it to me. I need you to make it to Him. If you make it to me, you're going to break it. You're going to break your promise to me. That's just an earthly thing. But when you make that to the Lord and He is ministering in your body, He's going to remind you. He's going to convict you. Going to set you up so you make it to Him. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I will make room for you to do whatever you want to.
Holiday season. we're reminded of those words, no room in the inn. But Father, we have room for you in our lives. Lord, we have room for you in our hearts. We have room for you in our minds, Lord. We ask, Father, that you just stir us to a deeper relationship through this holiday season. Remind us, Lord, that we are to surrender ourselves, our entire life, to you. It's not about a Sunday morning thing. It's about a you thing. It's about you living through us, changing us, maturing us, growing us, so that we can reach others for you, Christ. And Lord, in this holiday season, Lord, stir us to speak it, Father. To speak it, Father. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. And Lord, we ask that you would just give us opportunity to use this season to share with other people and use those seeds planted to grow others, to bring others to you, Father. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because you come into our hearts, you change us, you lighten the burdens of our life, and you give us blessings, reward, and you have good for us. Even through difficult things, Lord, you're bringing us to good. We give you praise, we give you honor, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, you may be seated. Welcome to the Carpenter Shop Church. If you're a guest with us today, we hope you'll stop by our welcome center that is right out in the foyer and pick up your gift from us, as well as just speaking to somebody there. They want to meet you. They want to ask you how you're doing and what brought you here. Just getting to know you a little bit. So make sure you stop by the welcome center in the foyer. So good seeing y'all this morning. I want to know how many women enjoyed the gala last night. Woohoo! Yes! Amen! It was wonderful, and I'm seeing a few faces today, new faces this morning that came to the gala last night. So we welcome you. We're glad you're here. It was interesting because we had two salvations, praise God. And we also had, I know it, we also had personal times of ministry at the altar, but we also got our Christmas on. We had wonderful music that just brought us into the presence of God through our service, but also we had some Christmas music from Denise Hall and Enoli Hall, and we enjoyed that tremendously. Beautiful decor, wonderful food. Thank you, men. We didn't know you had it in you, but we will definitely be calling on you again. Those men treated us so good last night. Every time they came to my table, I got this little giggle, you know, down in my spirit. They said, is there anything you need? Any way that we can serve you? I was like, yes. Let me think of something. But it was wonderful to have that environment last night. Ladies, we need that sometimes. Guys, you might need it sometimes too. So, hey. And in Ahoskie, we had a meal like that. You couldn't go anywhere and get that barbecue chicken. I'm just telling you. That was grilled to perfection. Benny, thank you so much. As well as wonderful tender pork loin with the gravy. Am I making you hungry yet? Yes. Pastor Wallace's sweet potato casserole. I'm telling you it was good. Rice, green beans. I'm telling you, cheesecake to top it off, and pineapple cake. I'm telling you, it was good. So if you missed it, ladies, maybe you can make it next year. Yes, 2023 is coming. So just wanted to remind the ladies and all of you today, that when you're leaving the service today, we're going to have buckets at the doorways, and the buckets will be for our Touch the World project. This money goes to women in foreign countries to begin their businesses. We have had testimonies of women from Africa and all kinds of places that were given a sewing machine to start a business, that were given a coffee maker to start a coffee shop. And they have been able to not only provide for their family, but employ another woman to provide for their family as it grows. And so that's one, just one of the many ways that Touch the World through our women's ministry goes to fund. So, hey, I know a lot of you probably have a billfold, I don't know if they call them that anymore, full, a change purse full of coins, right? So why go to Foodline and put them in that thing that gets stuck and just dump them in the bucket when you leave? Lightens your pocketbook about 5 pounds. And also you will realize, you know what? This Christmas season, I've given to Touch the World to help somebody in another country. Also, starting next week, we will be beginning, in fact, starting Wednesday night, we will be beginning to collect for our seniors Christmas boxes. We do little boxes for our seniors just to encourage them. Some of them are shut in. We like to give them hygiene products or little snack packs or puddings or lotions or Kleenex or whatever, you know, what you would like to get in a little care basket like that. Word find books, little devotionals, things like that. If you will place those in the foyer in a basket, the basket will be there starting Wednesday night. Also, when you're giving these things, you may want to buy in sixes. It makes it easier for the packing process if we have six of the same item. So I know a lot of y'all are in and out of Dollar General and Walmart, and I don't even know all the stores, Hobby Lobby. I mean, who doesn't want something from Hobby Lobby? So grab six items, throw them in your basket, and bring them to the church. Thank you so much. Every year we're amazed at the things that show up and the ideas of specialty tea bags and drink mixes, and the ideas that y'all have just blow my mind every year. So thank you in advance for doing that. So many ways of giving this holiday season, isn't it? Amen. And when you came in today, you received a flyer that with just reminders of all the things that are taking place this Christmas holiday season. Our children's Christmas program, Go Tell It, will be Sunday, December the 11th. Men, women, you do not want to miss this, because we saw a sneak peek, just a little teeny portion of something that's going to take place this Sunday, but that we saw it last night in the women's ministries, and it was wonderful, the gala. It was wonderful, and you don't want to miss it. Also, December the 18th, we'll have Cheryl Denton here, and she does From the Cradle to the Cross, and she shares that story as if she is Mary sharing the story. So, ladies, you know the scripture that says Mary pondered these things in her heart? That's one of my favorite little nuggets of the Christmas story. Cheryl will be sharing that Christmas story through the eyes of Mary with us. The Christmas party, December the 14th, it's Wednesday night. Everybody come. It's going to be good. You never know what you're going to see on that long buffet line, but there's always plenty. So bring your potluck and enjoy togetherness, connection, as we sit around tables and laugh and eat and do Christmas. And so Pastor will also have a nice little time there and to share with us as well. And then last but not least, December the 18th at 4 p.m., there'll be a Christmas concert. And it has a lot of our people that are musically talented, but it also has people from the community that are musically talented as well that will share. Come and just enjoy a time of Christmas with us. We love you guys. We thank you so much for all that you are connecting with us through the holiday season and enjoying the Christmas life through Christmas. So at this time, we will worship the Lord in our tithes and offerings.
We hear that word and we envision something without conflict. Peace involves that, but there's so much more. Peace is a restored state of wholeness. The birth of Jesus announces the arrival of peace, and the death of Jesus creates peace with God. And when the angels proclaim peace on earth, the shepherds heard what our hearts long to hear, that God is indeed restoring all of it to his original and glorious purposes. So may we experience that kind of peace. It's an invitation for every person, and it's here now because Jesus is here now. This is peace. Welcome to Christmas.
Amen. How about the peace of God today? Come on. Let's give the Lord praise. Come on. I'd like to speak to you this morning, just a simple message that I've entitled, Find Peace. We're staring at the face of Christmas, you know, every passing day. I was looking at my calendar last night. Matter of fact, last night at 12:30 this morning, I was sitting in my recliner eating chicken. I'm just telling you the truth. I got home and I was, you know, how many of you know when you go through an event like that, it's just hard to just go home and go to bed? We just sat there and unwind it, kind of unwind period, and we took a little bit of chicken home with us. I think it was 8 pieces, and this morning when I got up, there was a bowl in the sink with running water in it, and the bowl was empty. And I didn't eat 8 pieces, but between Pastor Joy and then Zach was with us last night, and he must have smelled it or something, I don't know. Biddy, you have messed yourself up, man. You have messed yourself up. That chicken was incredibly good, and it was just a blessing. So we sat there till about 12:45, and finally at 1:00 this morning we went to bed. And I was grateful to be a part of the women's gala. Wonderful time. Thank you, ladies, for just supporting that. Thank you, Pastor Joy, for making provision for us to have a gala. I think that was the 7th year, and it was so complete, God's number of completion. It was so complete last night. The men just had a blast, amen. I look to see all of you at the altar this morning for healing, amen. Mike Shepherd, you should be first, okay. Between him and Abdul, I'm surprised they didn't walk in here this morning like this, because they spent a lot of time in the sink, come on. But wonderful time. These are great times just to share fellowship. We're talking about the peace of God today. And that peace comes from relationship with God, right relationship with him. Today we light the candle of peace. In the Advent season, Advent means it's coming, you know, there's an expectation. And so we light that today with confidence. Push the button there, Logan. You never smoked, I know, but I did. Okay. Yeah, just push the blue button down. There you go. See? If you were an old stogie user like me, but don't go there, man. Don't do that. Don't do that. Save yourself some hardship and discover peace, all right? We light the candle of peace today. And That, you know, that's, this is the season, you know, where we should all be reminded of peace. We should all be just engaged in a, you know, Pastor Joy and I have just enjoyed some personal times together, and in the car, in the truck, we've been, you know, kind of going from one event to another. And pray for us. We're looking for some peace, all right? We're looking for some stop. Today we leave and we go to a Southeast banquet tonight down in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And then from there to Raleigh and from Raleigh back here. And hopefully by, you know, the middle of this coming week, Wednesday or Thursday, we'll disengage from activities and just try to find a little different level of peace. Amen. No place like home. Dorothy was right, and we're looking forward to spending some time at home. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, is a verse that grips our hearts at this holiday season. It just says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Isaiah is speaking hundreds of years before there was a baby in Bethlehem. It says, and the government will be on his shoulders. You know, I look at the news just enough to stay aware of what's happening in the world, and it's very chaotic. It's very chaotic in our culture today. And people are jumping on varied identities. I never thought I'd see this. In fact, there was a new one that surfaced. It may not be new, but it was new for me, so it was new, right? There's a new identity that's out there. And it's an identity for people who are not autistic, but wish they were. Okay? And when someone sent this to me, my daughter sent it to me. She said, "Dad, what in the world's going on in our culture? When someone who doesn't have a disorder wants one." Okay? And so, you know, you can Google it. And there's, you know, this was an organization, free from names here, but an organization in Raleigh that passed out cards for people to understand the folks who identified with desiring to be autistic. Okay? Now, I just wonder, where are we going in the society? It's coming unraveled. But the Bible here says that Isaiah spoke of Christ, and he said, a child is born, a son is given, and government, the government of the world, literally, will rest upon his shoulders. And just when you think it's all just kind of come unglued and you don't know where it's going, can I just promise you, he's not been caught off guard. The Lord has not been caught off guard. The Bible says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. And so he's very aware of where we are. He was very aware of where Israel was. And it says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, I love this last one, Prince of Peace. Amen? He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah the prophet tells us more, verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So it's Isaiah's prophetic voice here telling the people of that day. And I love this verse, verse 2 of Isaiah 9. It says, the people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. Do you remember when you saw the light? I saw the light. Come on, guys. I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. That song's been redone in Elevation here in the last couple of years. You know, now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. The people who were walking in darkness, Isaiah said, have seen a light. And so that's a powerful verse there. Isaiah prophesies, Isaiah foretells, Isaiah passes on God's truth that Messiah is coming, a Savior is coming, a light is dawning. Literally, peace, the Prince of Peace is going to be born. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. Come on. All the tinsel and lights and the presents are nice, but the real gift, the song says, is you.
Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, and it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I love you. Can't you hear the kids just singing the happy birthday, Jesus? I love that song every year. I'm so glad it's Christmas. Amen? The reality is that the Prince of Peace was born, and that was the light. Isaiah the prophet, the man of God who lived over 700 years before the birth of Christ, but heralded a message 700 years before that day that peace was coming. The people of God, Israel, the kingdom was divided at that juncture in history, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom had been carried away into captivity. And the southern kingdom of Judah was still stuck in what? Idolatry and evil. They were stuck in idolatry and evil. Chaos abounded. Confusion abounded. Conflict abounded. How could the chosen people of God, Israel, how could she survive with the threat of Assyria on the scene? And Babylon was up there like a batter on deck. Soon would be a major threat to Israel. And the further question would be this. In the midst of a nation responding in pagan ways, how would the righteous remnant survive? Or would God simply destroy them all in judgment? You know, I ask myself several questions when I look at the historical approach to the history of Israel. And in the midst of chaos and confusion and conflict, the thundering voice of the prophet Isaiah rises up and says, "We may right now be in darkness, but I see a light." Amen? That's what you have to tell yourself today as a church, looking at our society, looking at our world that's really twisting out of control. We may be in darkness, but I know the light of the gospel. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is in control. Amen? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I don't know about you, but it almost seems to me that we're living out the same story all over again. That we need a light. We need the light. We need the light of the gospel. Not Israel this time, but America. She was raised up a Christian nation. We carry money in our pockets that if you unfold a bill and look at it, what does it say? In God we trust. We carry money that says, in God we trust. We were raised up a Christian nation, a nation founded on godly principles. We've even produced modern day apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. God called men and women proclaiming Jesus, stamping it on our money. In God we trust. This nation sent their kids to schools in America. When we stood up in the morning and started every day, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And then we would continue with the Lord's Prayer. I was in the first grade. Our Father who art in heaven. Not a Christian school, a public school. Amen. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day. I remember Miss Woodard's class so well. Our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then we're off to schoolwork. Every day. We stood, man. 6 years old, we stood in attention. We stood in respect. There's no respect in the school classroom today. It's chaos. I remember volunteering a few years back for Hertford County Middle School. Anybody ever had any kids in Hertford County Middle School? I remember volunteering for Hertford County Middle School, and I thought, you know, yeah, I can give a little time. No problem. I go up there. Piece of cake, right? I'm a man of authority. You know, when you walk into the room, everything changes. Guess what? I walked into the room. Nothing changed. REV didn't mean a thing. Pastor meant squat. Okay? I walked into the room, and it was so much chaos in that Hertford County Middle School room.
I just told the principal, I said, you know what, I can't do this. I did. How many days did you volunteer? 3. I said, I can't do this. The teacher said, you know, I'm sorry to hear that you're not able. I said, well, really, I'm not making an impact at all. I said, I can't even get the kids to listen to anything that I say. The same teacher told me, oh, Pastor, I know what you mean. I had a kid just a week or so ago before you came. Hey, can I go to the restroom? She said, we just went to the restroom. It's after lunch. We just went to the restroom. Please be seated and do your work. The child in the Hertford County Middle School comes to the front of the class and urinates in the trash can. That's chaos. That's chaos. That's confusion. That's chaotic at best. You need to pray for teachers. You need to pray for school individuals that teach in school, that instruct in school, that lead in school. You need to pray for them. Because, you know, we're in a mess. We're in a mess in the school. We're in a mess in our culture. Last night in the Hoskia shooting, you know. We're here in the church having a gala, and outside of the walls of this church, chaos is taking place. We took prayer out of schools in America. We stopped honoring the flag as a Christian nation. We started being tolerant in America. We welcomed other gods. And in our welcoming other gods, we've replaced what little bit of peace we had in those days with confusion and chaos and conflict. That's the very opposite of what peace is. The opposite of peace is chaos. The opposite of peace is confusion. The opposite of peace is conflict. And that which we have today shall only truly be solved with the second coming of Messiah. When Jesus returns to bring us to peace. What is peace? Well, peace is defined in your dictionary, Webster's dictionary, as freedom or period of freedom from public disturbance. A quiet, a calm state of mind, Webster goes on to say. A lack of conflict. That's peace. You ever told your kids, go to your room. I need some peace, okay? I don't need any conflict. You've said that before. But you're talking about stress and a state of calm that you wanted. So you say, hey, go to your room. Peace is defined biblically also. Over 400 times in the Bible, the word peace appears. The Hebrew word for peace is what? Shalom. 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 Completeness, soundness, contentment. It's twofold. The word peace in the Bible is twofold. Somebody say twofold. It's peace with God. This is linear, okay? And it's also lateral, which means what? Peace with other people. Okay? Talking about peace with God and peace with other people. Look at Romans chapter 5. Paul is talking here. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we've come to Christ, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one that gives us peace. Look at verse 2. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Paul reminds us that we've been brought into a right relationship with God. We have the righteousness of God, right relationship. We have peace with God, and it comes from faith in his Son. He says we've gained access through faith, and now we get to walk in his grace and experience peace in our hearts. Mornings when I get up, I have a routine. How many of y'all like me are just very routine oriented, you know? I get up, I let the dog out, take him for a walk, come back in, sit down in the chair. There's the big Bible sitting right next to my chair. Open the Bible, read a psalm, read a proverb, something of that nature. It is almost like when I sit down in the chair sometimes, the Lord says, hey, what you waiting on? Okay. Hey, what you waiting on? Okay, Lord. Okay.
I want to talk to you. I want to speak to you. I want to talk to you about peace. Paul reminds us that we've been brought in to this right relationship with God. We have the peace with him, and we have it through faith in his son. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 in the King James, it says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." It is the what? Gift of God. The fact that you've been saved by grace through faith is God's gift to you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That's his gift to you. God has given you and I this wonderful gift of peace. We are free from chaos in our lives. We are free from confusion in our hearts. And we're free from conflict in our minds. He's brought us peace with God. Many of you in this room, many of you listen to me online, have discovered peace with God. You remember that time when all your burdens rolled away. Come on. "It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day." You remember those days, don't you? When Christ came to you individually. Once you were a drunkard, but you found Jesus. Some of you were bound by drugs, but you came to Christ. Some of you lied and cheated and deceived, and you ended up in the jailhouse behind the prison bars. But then there was Jesus. People have been saved by trusting Jesus while they were incarcerated. And then the rest of us, we did things that we should have been put in jail, but we didn't make it, right? Come on. Whether you got caught or didn't get caught, you still experienced peace with God through Jesus Christ. You were still, even if you never spent a night in jail, you were still imprisoned through the sin nature. You were behind the bars of chaos and confusion because you were dead, according to Paul in Ephesians, in your trespasses and your sins. Amen? But God came to you and set you free. Paul was right. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." It is the gift of God. Then there's that second aspect. We're talking about this linear aspect now between you and an awesome God. But then Paul talks about the second aspect. There's a second aspect of peace. Not only peace with God, but peace with other people. I wouldn't have to just ask just a simple question this morning and just get a show of hands. But I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But let me ask you a question. How many of you have some accounts that aren't settled? You have some relationships that are estranged. You have some connections with people that just aren't good, solid connections because they're not peace between you and I, you and them. Romans 12, look at verses 13 through 18. Paul gives the church here this amazing passage of what I like to call short, succinct phrases. Just little one-liners on how you and I are to keep peace with other people. I remember shopping one day in an old store in Edenton that's long gone out of business. How many of y'all remember the TGNY days? Big department store, kind of like Walmart. TGNY. Man, we used to love to go to TGNY. And I remember going with my grandmother that day, and she was, you know, always liked to go to the store with grandma because what did that mean? You're going to get something, man. You're going to get something. Now I know what it really means. Now I'm going to give something, okay? "How much can I spend?" Ava says. Well, just look for something first, but how much, okay? If you want to, you know, raise the bar here. 20, you know? So I remember shopping with my grandma that day, and we just got in the store, and I was going toward the toy department. She says, "Come on!" And she grabbed me, man, and she snatched me. She said, "Come on, let's go." And I said, "We just got here." She said, "We're not staying here." "Why not?" "Because," she called the name of another family member, "she's shopping here, we ain't staying here." And she snatched me, almost pulled my arm out of socket, and drug me out of that store when we got in the car. I was like, "What is this about?" And she told me, she called the family member's name. She said, "She's in the store, and I don't want to shop where she's shopping. She didn't come to your granddaddy's funeral when he passed away." Wait a minute. You're not going to shop in a store because she's there and she didn't attend the funeral when granddaddy died. So what happened was she let a strange disconnection with family just ruined my shopping experience, okay? Okay. You need to be free, Grandma, okay? You have hurt me badly, okay? Now I'm upset with you, okay? But you see what I'm saying? Listen, some of you sitting in this room today and some of you watching online have some relationships with family that are not intact. In fact, I've heard people say it before. Man, I'm closer to the folk in the church than I am my own family. Come on, just agree with me. Some of you love the people in the church, and you know, you're not going to the family reunion in September, okay? Because you don't want to see them, right? I understand. But Paul says, listen, I want to talk to you about your relationship with other people. The ones that are laughing now are under conviction. They just don't know how to respond, okay? This is what he says. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. I can take that. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Look at these one-liners. They're power pack. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't cuss them out. Okay? Don't bless and do not curse. All right? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited, by the way. And he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. In verse 18, I love this. I've underscored it. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Paul challenges us to make every effort to avoid this chaos, this confusion, this conflict in all of our relationships. No drama. You know how some folk are. They're just always looking for a fight, okay? They love a fight. They love a conflict. But Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, he says that because there are some relationships you just can't seem to sustain, you can't have. In other words, you're better off to stay away from them. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Look, I'm just better off because every time I'm around them, I just get upset. So where do you think the problem lies? It lies in our hearts. Okay? In other words, the only peace you will find with this person is when you cut them off. Okay? I remember T.D. Jakes many years ago preached a series of messages on surviving in a hostile work conflict, in a work environment. Surviving in a hostile work environment. And I was drawn in, and I listened to him, and he was really talking about the principles of good relationships. But he knew, as all of us do, that when you get up in the morning, generally what you do is go to work. So he said, how to survive in a hostile work environment. Sometimes you just feel like saying to people, get out of my face, man. Get out of my space. Get out of my place while I still have a little grace, okay? Get out of here. And I know some of you are not going to like this, but you just need to continue on with verse 19. Check this out. Do not take revenge, friends. Don't try to get back at them. But leave room for God's wrath. Let him assume the responsibility for their attitude. He says, it's mine to avenge. I will repay. Verse 20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, Pastor Joy and I call it staying on the high road. Okay? Just stay up on the high road, okay? Sometimes people disappoint you. Like one pastor said, man, I love the ministry. It's the people that bother me. Well, guess what? If you can't get along with people, you're going to have a hard time in the ministry because people will disappoint you. People will frustrate you. People will aggravate you. So if you're going into the ministry, buckle your seatbelt, okay? Because this ride's going to be bumpy. He says, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you heap burning coals on his head. In other words, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, choose peace, okay? I'm just going to love you despite what's going on here. I'm just going to, even though you aggravate me, I'm just going to love you. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. It works. It does. I've tried it on some of you. All right. Now, you were supposed to laugh there, okay? Some of you are not laughing. I'm concerned about our relationship. I really am. If I were to ask you, how many times has Pastor done something that really frustrated you? Please don't raise your hand, okay? You could raise your hand. Man, you frustrate me sometimes. But you know what? You love me and I love you, okay? And guess what? I will frustrate you again, okay? I'm just prophesying to you. Why? Because we're human beings. We're human beings. And we sometimes disappoint each other. But the Word of God says, as much as it is possible with you, do what you can to make sure you have that healthy relationship. Isaiah 9 reminds us that we are the receivers of the peace of God. A child is born, a son is given, and the government's on his shoulders, and he's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You received that peace when Jesus Christ was born, and you received that peace when he came into your heart. Amen? He came into your heart. You have in your heart the Son that was given, that Isaiah prophesied. You allow him to govern your life. You allow him to govern your life. You allow him to be the counselor of your life. He's your mighty God. He's your everlasting Father. And on this second week of Advent, he is your Prince of Peace. You've made room for him, and he's your Prince of Peace. I want you to stand with me this morning. Just stand where you are. Just begin to worship him right where you are. Just begin to resolve in your mind and in your heart. Some of you know because you know that you have some work to do during this holiday season. Can I just tell you something? I remember one holiday that went by. I think it was Easter. And I had a situation here in the church where there was not really a healthy relationship between me and one of you. Okay? And I was on my way to church that morning, Pastor Noli, and the Spirit of God went, knocked on my heart. And I was like, God, I don't want to talk about that. Okay? And he said, yes, Wallace, but we're celebrating my death. You're celebrating the death of my son. And you know that this is an issue that needs to be cleared. And I never will forget it. On the way to church, I picked up my cell phone, went to the contacts, and I pushed the button. Don't let him answer. Don't let him answer. That's right, Lord. Hello? Hey, good morning. And I called their name. Don't worry, I'm not going to slip, okay? I've been doing this too long. I said, good morning. And I called their name. They said, well, good morning. I said, happy Resurrection Day. I want to say this to you. I want to say that I believe that there's something that needs to be resurrected. Yes. You know, you could say something too, you know. I said, a resurrection that needs to take place is the tension between you and I. I didn't hear anything. Then I heard a... You heard that before? You know? I said, I just want to say, as far as my part in this, I want to say I'm sorry. Thank you very much. I'm sorry also. And when I got to church that day, guess what? They were here. I said, thank you, Lord. It's not about them being at church, but what happened? There was a resolve
in a strained relationship. Okay? Resolve in a strained relationship. You say, Pastor, why are you talking about this? This is because it's the week of peace. And some of you are standing here today, and there may be Aunt so-and-so or Uncle Bob or maybe even Mom or Dad, maybe one of your children. Maybe you, hey, we get along fine with the son. The daughter is a different story. Okay? Or we get, you know, our daughter's great, man. Everything's cool. But our son just, man, he gets on my nerves. Okay? So what are you going to do? Going to make room. Going to make room. Some of you today will, let me try what Pastor did. Don't answer. Okay. Don't answer. No. Some of you today will make a call. Some of you today might send a text. Okay. Some of you today might drop an email or a Facebook messenger or something and say, hey, hope you have a great holiday. Maybe a friend, maybe a coworker, maybe husband to wife, wife to husband. But you're going to make room. Why? Because this is the week of peace. This is the week that, above all weeks, that you should do it. Because this is the week of peace. Because unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government is in his hands. The government of your family is in his hands. And he is your wonderful counselor. He is your mighty God. He is your everlasting Father, and he is your Prince of Peace. Would you begin to sing that this morning? Just, I'll make room for you. And I'm going to ask you, just listen. Just come. And let's together stand in this holy place. And let's make room for him to speak to our hearts. You know, have you ever found yourself in this spot and said, Lord, is it me or is it them? I think I've done everything I should do. In the South, we say there's something such as eating crow. Now, you had chicken last night, but how many of y'all have had crow before? Come on. When you really said, I'm sorry, and you really didn't even feel like it was you that was the one that needed to say that. What I say, Pastor Joy and I call it? Taking the high road, okay? And then don't add this phrase, if I have offended you. Because what you're saying then is, I don't think I did. Okay? If I hurt your feelings, no. You did hurt their feelings, evidently. So how about just this? Hey, I know things have been a little tense between you and I. But can I just say this to you today? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Lord, I pray that in this moment, on the week of peace, that you, God, would speak to the hearts of your people. As you already have today in your word, and let us make room for you to do whatever you want to. Prayer team, could you take your positions this morning and just be ready for a people to come? You don't even need details. You don't need details, but just let someone lay a gentle hand on you this morning and just bless you in the name of Jesus. Let them bless you today. Come on, move out of your seat now as they begin to sing. And let's come together around the candle of peace today and
tell the Lord, I'm making room for you, God. If the pastor can do it, I can too. Just make room. And if there's, listen, if you're here today and there's not the linear peace that you need, it's not right between you and the Father, and you know it's not right, now is a great time to make peace with Him. It is. Make room for Him today. Come on, step out of your seat and let's come as they worship.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for the scriptures that were shared with us to remind us that we are to live in peace, Lord. I ask that you give us a boldness to reach out to the broken relationships that we may have, to mend those this week, Lord, so that we can live out this holiday season truly for you. I ask that you watch over us and guide us through this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.